On the cover, we see the stage at Protean City High School. On it, Ringleader and friends are working to build an artificial skyline of the city, adding in a new black spire. Downstage, Ben, Alina, and Celeste are wearing over-the-top theater costumes as they prepare to play Frequency, Arcana, and Highwire for the school play.
Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
I'm Alina. The rest is need to know.
Frequency, bringing the megahertz.
I'm Highwire, and my life's like a three-ring circus.
Now, with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is Protean City Comics, issue number 77, A Play for the City.
The first panel of our comic is a top-down view of the classroom, and it's this one student whose name wasn't on the list. Sitting in the middle of the classroom, and everyone is kind of like leaning in their desks to turn to look. And Damascus Steele is standing at the front of the classroom, kind of with like one hand on each desk, two separate chair desks, leaning over, looking at this student closely, and sort of just says, "Who are you?" And that is the scene, and that is the moment when Alina and Ben re-enter the classroom. And so you walk in to see this pretty menacing teacher leaning over and being pretty menacing to one specific student.
So I grab the mop from Frequency, like I was helping, and just walk over to Damascus and say, "Hey, Mr. Steele, we've got your cleaning supplies right here." And just sort of trying to insert myself between scary dude and vulnerable high school student as I see it.
So you're trying to hand him the broom?
I'm just,
to be there.
I'm just trying to get his attention.
Okay. He is going to, he's just going to kind of be like, "We'll get back to you in 1 second." And he's going to turn and say, "Certainly took you long enough to get back here with those cleaning supplies."
"What can I say? Got lost.
Didn't go on any fun side adventures. We don't want anyone having too much fun at summer school."
"Does it look like I could go anywhere trying to carry all of this stuff? As I have like these two giant buckets filled with things."
He's going to just like stand up and walk over and grab like maybe all of the buckets in like one hand and just be like, "No, you're right. Go back to your desk." And he's going to walk to the back of the room and plop them up on the science tables and start to fill them both with water. And he's going to turn back to the class and say, "Find yourself a sponge, find yourself a cloth, find yourself some cleaning supplies, and then find yourself a desk and clean that desk. When the desks are clean, we'll begin with class. Except for you." And he's going to point to the girl that none of you recognized and say, "You come to the front of the class and talk to me about why you're here." And he is going to head back up to his desk and sit down. And the girl's going to stand up and kind of like quietly walk over to talk to him. And the rest of your classmates get up and start heading back to the sinks and and getting sponges and stuff.
I've already got a mop.
You already have a mop.
So I'm just pretending to mop a desk.
Okay. This is a very tense situation you just walk back into.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but you're mopping a desk?
Yes.
I'm just trying to picture that, and I love the visual of just you like on a standing on the chair part of it. Like,
well, and also I've got my ear turned towards
she's
their
kind of
conversation.
Like absentmindedly cleaning, not paying attention.
Yeah. I'm not making fun of you. I'm saying I love that idea.
So what is Ben doing?
I was going to do something very similar, not with a mop, but like...
You're trying to eavesdrop on this conversation.
I was probably going to have a dry sponge, and I was just going to be at one of the desks up in front.
Okay.
Just like...
And what is Celeste wiping doing?
So Celeste is going to go and grab some sort of cleaning supplies, but as she's walking that way, she walks by Ben, wherever Ben is, and drops inconspicuously drops a note like within his field of vision because Damascus is distracted, and this is okay. The only time that she might have a chance to try and get an assistant.
Okay. So Ben, somebody drops a note.
Yeah. And
on this desk that you were cleaning with a dry sponge.
Yeah.
Or near it. And somewhere he'll see it.
I'm kind of a little excited.
Yeah.
Like, because I've seen this girl around mm-hmm. school. And this whole time that we've been, I mean, not that we've been in this room for hours and hours, but like, as soon as I walked in, she came she
walked right over to your area of the classroom.
Sat right near me, has looked at me probably 3 or 4 times when she thought I wasn't looking, and now she's left me a note.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty excited.
Okay.
For this.
And what does the note say?
It is addressed to F, just says the letter F at the top, and just says, Damascus Steel is up to something, and is signed at the bottom with really with a really quickly drawn like doodle of a circus tent.
Okay. So how do you react to that, Ben?
I'm probably very confused at first. Not that the note is too cryptic, but it is not at all what I was expecting it to be.
And also, Mr. Steel didn't tell you his first name, so it might take you a moment.
Yeah. But no, I probably look at the note and my face goes through several different emotions of, at first excitement, then confusion,
mm-hmm.
then a slightly deeper confusion looking back at the note. And I think probably at some point I try to look up at you and try to make eye contact to do like a nonverbal communication of like an, oh, okay. I see this. I'm not sure if you're going to turn back around, but I'm definitely looking at you as you're walking like away.
And I use my telekinesis to grab the note.
Oh no.
I thought you were cleaning and paying attention to the new vice principal of our high school.
But she's not looking. She's listening inconspicuously.
My eyes are everywhere. I have
She's
eyes.
Doing no one, five things at once.
No one's going to drop a note in a school classroom without Alina noticing it.
So
what do you make of this note?
I have no fucking clue. I think maybe
you are probably aware of who Highwire is, although you probably maybe not have not made this connection.
Yeah, I just kind of look at him, look at the teacher, look at him again, slowly fold the note back and give it back to him.
I probably just sort of nod, give you a little like head, like gesture with my head to like stay where you're at and keep an ear open on what's going on here.
So I do want to know, do you know who Damascus Steel is? Are you familiar with that name?
I think so, just because of Ramon.
Okay. Yeah. He would have probably at least mentioned the name of the person he did business with once.
Yeah.
And also, like, Damascus Steel is relatively new in town, but he is the kind of person who moves around. He's done business here before. He's a pretty well known as like a weapons merchant and mercenary. So,
oh, yeah. I'm sure that the asset has some...
I'm sure the asset has a file on him. It's not one that he's like, you need to read this because this is a villain in our city, but it's more like, you should be aware of this person.
Mm-hmm.
I probably then start walking back to where everyone's like grabbing cleaning supplies and the water's running and everything. And I probably sort of get in, I want to say it's a line. There's only two buckets, so there's probably a crowd of people.
Yeah.
But I'm probably...
And they're not doing this optimally.
Yeah. And I probably stand behind Celeste and sort of in a weird way, like not whispering, but I'm probably like...
We're trying to figure out how to have covert conversations in like the smallest classroom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is fine.
I probably say something like, hi, wired, I mean, sorry, weird summer school we're having today. Yes?
Yeah. Yeah. Really weird. This is so dumb. And she says that out loud. She says, this is so dumb.
Yeah. Okay. But just making sure, like, hi, why are you in summer school this year?
Yeah, I failed math class because life's been weird lately. Been busy with a bunch of stuff outside of school. Yes. Just whatever question. Yes.
Okay. And there's like a big wink.
And Alina, you sort of are maybe paying attention to that conversation a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so you lose the focus on the Damascus conversation a little bit. But as you start to like, oh, wait, shit, I need to be listening to this. Mm-hmm. You hear him say, but you need to tell me who you are if you're going to stay in this classroom. I can't just let you be here otherwise. And the girl just sort of, you can see, if you glance over, you can see she's very frustrated. There's like a coffee mug on his desk. It's not his desk. This isn't his classroom. It's full of pencils. And she just kind of like slaps it off, onto the ground, and like it smashes against the wall in a way that like probably everyone in the room hears, and she turns and just runs out of the classroom. And Damascus Steele is just standing there, kind of like looking, he's just sitting there looking kind of a little bit dumbfounded. Like, that was a weird reaction to tell me your name. And after a moment, the class, like, there's a moment of silence as everyone is looking around, and then there's like the of someone like closing off the one of the sinks as the buckets are done being full, and then like someone kind of like giggles at the weird squeaky sound, and then it goes back to everyone goes back to talking and cleaning. So what are you guys doing?
I jump off and just head out of the classroom after. Okay. After no name.
Okay. And so you step out into the hallway, and you see this person, let's say running in the opposite direction from the way that you guys went to get the cleaning supplies, mm-hmm. which is more towards like the front of the school, and then past that is like the gym, and then like the pool is over there somewhere. And they're running off in that direction. You're just going to continue to follow them. Like, they're running fast. Yeah. Okay. Are you running to keep up with them, or are you just walking sort of less conspicuously?
I'm trying to keep up.
Okay. Yeah. There's not a lot of other people in the school. And most of the hubbub is sort of in the other direction towards the auditorium. I think you catch up with them because eventually you make your way to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear like the door slam as you turn the corner, and you're like, okay, that's where they went. And so when you open the gym door, this girl is just sort of like, I want to say like just laying on the ground, like in the middle of the gym, just like kind of like spread eagle, like just kind of just like not crying, but just like heavy breathing from running, and maybe like kind of like just pounding their fists on the ground a little bit, and generally just kind of like sprawled out on the ground, like looking unhappy.
Okay. All right. Hi. Hey, I'm Alina. Just wondering if you're all right. What's going on? You cool?
And they immediately, as soon as they realize someone is in this room, like they were like kind of like spread eagle, like lying on the ground, and they kind of immediately like pull all their limbs towards themselves, and kind of like twist and spin, and they're sitting upright, kind of like hugging their knees against their legs, and I was like, everything's fine. I just need a moment alone. It's nice to meet you.
I don't know. It just seemed like maybe you weren't feeling too good. How's it going?
Are you trying to comfort and support them?
Yeah.
Roll plus mundane.
Because none of us know what we're doing today.
It's a five.
It's a five? Well, gee. You're trying to like break through to them, trying to get in touch, like trying to find out what's going on. Mm-hmm. What is distressing this person?
And she just sort of says, no, I'm okay. I'm okay. Everything's fine. I don't like that guy. He seems like not a nice man. And I didn't like the way he was asking questions about me.
Fair enough. All right. I think I'm gonna head back though. So should I just say I couldn't find you?
I wouldn't go back. I mean, he doesn't seem like he's a nice guy at all.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, man, but you know, my friends are in there and I gotta make sure that they're okay too.
So you start to like turn to walk back after saying that. And I think that like after like maybe one or two steps, you feel a hand on your shoulder as this girl is like suddenly behind you, which is like much faster than no one should be able to like sneak up. No one should be able to sneak up on you. Period.
Right.
End of sentence. But also like a human shouldn't have been able to cross the room in that few steps.
Right.
Very like silently. Like you didn't hear anything. And she's just like, wait, you came after me. Maybe would you help me?
Yeah, sure. What can I help you with?
And we're going to cut away back to the classroom. And so what have the two of you been doing? There's no longer an awkward conversation at the front of the classroom to eavesdrop on. Your friend Alina has disappeared or run off after this girl. But like the rest of the students are getting back to doing their thing. What are you doing? Are you actually cleaning? Are you trying to continue to have a conversation about what's going on?
I feel like we're both cleaning and waiting for some opportunity to continue having a conversation that isn't going to be heard by everyone.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. We might be
had desks that are near each other.
You're cleaning desks, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that after a moment, the door opens again. And you probably both look up, expecting to see Alina or one of your friends. But instead it's Sam. and who you don't know.
No, I don't.
But obviously Celeste, you do know. And he kind of like stops.
Celeste just at her desk just goes, oh my God, really?
And he sees you and he smiles. And I think he waves in like a kind of awkward way. And he kind of like gives Ben a weird look. Cause the two of you are kind of off by the wall cleaning desks next to each other.
She smiles and waves back. She's just surprised to see him here.
And
she has no reason to think he's doing anything wrong.
No,
fine.
He's fine. He's definitely doing nothing wrong.
I do an awkward wave too. Just like a hands up. Like, hey,
He definitely doesn't wave back to you.
I don't know why this guy who just walked in is waving at me, but that's fine.
And then he straightens up. And he just kind of shakes his head. He's like, with this, like, that was like, that's weird. Didn't expect to see her here kind of expression. And he walks over to Mr. Steele and whispers something to him. And Steele sort of says more loudly, I don't care. Find it. That's what I'm paying you for. And Sam kind of just whispers something back quietly. And then turns to leave. And I think he stops before stepping out of the room, and he turns back, and he's gonna just like shuffle, like he's gonna like not run, but like move quickly through these desks over to you, Celeste, and he's just gonna say, "Hey, I didn't expect to see you here." After we get out of class, you should come talk to me before you leave.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
I have a thing.
Don't we always? Yeah, no. I'll meet you at the front of the school.
Okay.
After class.
And Damascus is just gonna be like, Sam, go. And Sam turns and he's like, sorry, Mr. Steele. Sorry.
Sorry.
And he runs out of the room. More quickly this time, and exits. And we're going to cut back to the gym. And so this girl is going to answer your question. I need
I need to be here, but I don't want to tell him who I am. Can you? And like,
I'm going to stop you right there. And I take out a small number of different student IDs that I have. And
of course.
And I just flip through and look and I say, all right, well, this one's not perfect, but you can just say that you dyed your hair here. You can be Rowena Skylark.
A clearly not made up name at all.
And she's going to take this ID and kind of like look at you strangely. Like most people don't have like a portfolio of student IDs. And
she's going to say, thank you. I don't know if this is going to be on his list though.
Well, you know what? I do have someone who could help us with that. Give me a second. And I go do 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 over to Frequency.
So you get a phone call. Frequency. From Alina.
Hey, I think we're going to need a last minute add to the roster of summer school for dumb kids and kids who weren't paying attention. At Protean City?
Okay. Why?
Just have a feeling. Doing a favor for a friend. Just Rowena Skylark, spelled exactly how it sounds.
Okay, but I think I saw her post something about like going on vacation with her family this summer.
That's fine, but we just need it to look like she should be in this class.
Okay, sure.
By the time we get back there, you can just say you were a late addition.
Thank you. Thank you for helping.
You're welcome. I mean, should I call you Rowena? Or, I mean, that might be easiest for maintaining your cover.
You trying to get her to tell you her name?
Yes.
I would like you to roll to provoke.
Fuck. It's a 7.
So on a 7, they can choose one instead. They stumble, you take +1 forward against them. They err, you gain a critical opportunity. They overreact, you gain influence over them. So the two of you have started walking back to the classroom. Mm-hmm. And when you ask her like what her name is, again, that like trips her up, like she is very reserved, and it literally trips her up, like in trying to like stumble around an explanation of why she doesn't want to tell you her name, she trips. And I think that you reach out and catch her hand, like to stop her from falling. And there's, and so like she's been wearing a hoodie, and when she like, so you catch her arm and she's falling, and so she sort of spins and to fall on her back instead of her front. And it's weird. Like, it feels like her arm, instead of like, so you're expecting to catch her arm to stop her body, but instead what happens is it feels more like her arm extends a little bit. And where it extends out from under the sleeve, there's like not human skin. It's like got, it's metal and some circuits or some sort of, let's say, robotic looking stuff. And when she falls and hits the ground, because it extends long enough that her body can still hit, like suddenly there are the seams on her face, and her whole face kind of like the impact of the hitting the ground jostles, and you can see that her face is like chunks of skin
panels
that are that when everything is working normally are seamless, but when she hits, the impact sort of shuffles them, and you can see that there is like outlines where things could come apart.
Okay.
And And she sees in your eyes that you've seen this.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to get up. She's going to see in your eyes that you have seen this. And she's going to shake your hand off of her arm and kind of like do this, like you know, the way that people like flip to jump up, like they can like kick their legs up off the ground and stand up. She does that, but she kind of like rolls over backwards,
mm-hmm.
And is like crouched and standing. And she kind of like is in like a very like low to the ground combat stance. And she's like, you didn't see anything.
All right. No. No. The nothing that I saw. I mean, it's fine. Cool. We're cool. Why don't we just keep heading back? I have questions, but I don't think I'm going to ask them right now.
And she kind of stands up and like adjusts her shoulders, and something kind of like clicks, and like the whirring that has been going on stops. And suddenly she looks just very like, she for a moment looked very like has this like animalistic, like predatory or like fight or flight sort of, reaction to you seeing her. And now she just looks like this concerned girl again. And she's like, all right. And she'll walk with you back to the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
So back in the classroom, Ben and Celeste, you have just been, you've seen all of these things, and Sam just came in and said hi. You don't know who Sam is, but he definitely knew who Celeste was.
Mm.
He also had a weird conversation with Mr. Steele.
With Mr. Steele.
That you would definitely overheard. Where it sounded like Mr. Steele is paying him to do something, which is weird because Mr. Steele, you're becoming more certain, is not a good guy.
I feel like assessing the situation might be like something.
Or piercing the mask.
I kind of want to at least find a way to share the information that I bumped into that kid who just walked in, helping do some work.
That's right. You do know him. Sorry.
I don't know who he is, but you did
recognize him.
So,
and you saw him do some weird acrobatics earlier.
Yeah.
Which you know is Highwire's thing.
Yeah. So, do you know that guy who just came in?
Yeah, that's my boyfriend.
Oh.
Frequency is heartbroken instantly.
All right.
Is he, tech boys hearts left and right.
Yeah, is he doing something with like the summer play they're doing?
I don't know. He didn't tell me, but it seems like something you do. He does a lot of tech stuff. So
yeah, I mean like yeah, I do tech stuff too, but yeah, we like bumped.
That's why I like my boyfriend. He's good at computers.
What?
No. That was out of character.
I know it was.
I'll shut up and let you be awkward.
No. We bumped into him in the supplies closet earlier. But I think he was just grabbing stuff to light some. When Alita comes back, she could tell she helped them with a light or something. I didn't
helped him with a light.
Okay.
I didn't think there were any paid positions though.
I don't know. It might be like internship sort of thing. Like he's helping out with the younger. Like he's like a counselor, like a camp counselor.
Are we really going to keep pretending that Mr. Steele is here as our new vice principal?
So long as he can hear us, yes.
Right. Kids are cleaning the desks, and the desks aren't that big, so they're back on the science tables, and they've started to clean those science tables. Ashton knocked over a Bunsen burner. And it like fell and like crashed on the ground, and he immediately turns to someone and yells, "Danny, why did you do that? Like you broke this," and tries to like blame it on this other girl. And she's like, "What? No, I didn't do anything. You did that." And they start to fight and like throw wet sponges at each other and stuff. And Mr. Steele gets up and he's just like, "What are you kids doing back there?" And he's gonna like lumber past you and start to deal with this commotion that's going on in the back of the classroom.
That's our cue.
Weird how comic books work like that.
I know, right?
Wow, that's a really convenient sponge fight in the back of the room.
Yeah.
I'm going to get up and start trying to leave.
Oh, okay.
That's what I meant.
Okay. Yeah, I'll follow you. I'm cool with that.
I grab my backpack as I leave, okay. And I immediately pull out my phone and text Ringleader and tell him that I need to see him right now.
Ben, are you, two questions. A, are you following Celeste?
Yes.
Two, did you read her text message?
No, I did not.
Okay. Just wanted to make
Three,
sure.
Three, I will clarify, because this somehow came up in our previous game. I have a danger phone and a normal phone.
Oh, yeah.
I texted him on the normal phone.
Oh, okay.
So it was to Sam. It was to...
Okay.
Yeah. Who may or may not have a heart next to his name in my phone that I still haven't changed. It's
sure.
Fine. It's fine.
I think you're going to get back a text message, like, very quickly. that just says, sure, come to the auditorium.
Okay.
I think as the two of you are leaving, you bump into Alina and her new friend.
Hi, guys. This is Rowena. We were headed back to the classroom, but, I mean, we don't really have to. Kind of seems like, you know, cleaning desks isn't too educational.
Yeah, we're on our way out to do some investigation. I don't really know where we're going, but that's where we're going.
Where are we going, Celeste?
We're going, we were just headed to the auditorium.
Yeah, auditorium.
Oh, where those dicks are. No, I mean, they're jerks. I don't. Fine. Oh, cool. Everything's fine.
What's happening in the auditorium?
I don't know. They're trying to hang this, like, spotlight that's way too big.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I don't know, man. It just seems like it's a little bit of an amateur hour over there.
Ooh.
Ooh.
So, yeah, Alina, I think Celeste's boyfriend is there helping out, too. So we're going to go have a chat with him.
Oh, so, okay. How about I join you with that? Rowena?
Yeah, I don't want to go back in that room, but I would love to stay in the school. So, auditorium.
Okay.
And before we walk off, Celeste is going to look at Ben and just be like, is she also part of the club? God, I don't know how to talk about any of this.
I'm going to look very... As you're all looking at me and you can tell that my face is very like, I don't know. I'm just going to sort of nod. Yes.
Okay.
It's an affirmative nod.
Then let's go to the auditorium. We're literally becoming the Breakfast Club.
Okay, so.
You say this like it's a bad thing.
Let's see.
It's not. I think this is wonderful.
There's a bunch of kids up on one of these like moving scaffolding things. It's in the actual like the chairs, and they're up sort of towards where there's like a light bar, and they're hanging some lights. And so there's someone up in the light booth, and they're sort of communicating. And so lights are coming on and off and on and off, and they're moving them and adjusting them. The stage looks really weird right now because the stage has this big circular section in the middle that is lifted up because it's like it's raised up and it looks like it can kind of spin, but it's not like during a show it would be lower, but it's all the way up, and there's a bunch of people underneath it doing something to the mechanics to this thing, and you can see as you enter that one of them is Sam, and so he's sort of up on the middle of the stage. Pretty much people are more towards the front of the, like the back, like the entrance way to the auditorium, hanging some lights and focusing them. And then there's like a couple people on stage with Sam doing something with this weird central thing.
Quick question for you.
Yes.
As Alina and the NPC known as Rowena.
Oh, shit. I didn't even think about that.
As they showed up, do I suddenly have that weird?
Oh, you definitely do.
Oh man,
you okay. Definitely do.
Okay,
it's a little bit calmer, but it's okay. Definitely. Yeah, it feels like she has as she's walking towards you, or like as you are walking towards the door, you get that kind of like, feels like someone's got a weird cell phone kind of thing, and then you're like, oh wait, a little bit more bigger, maybe bigger than a cell phone. Something about this girl is weird and is setting off your strange technology frequencies. It was like spider sense.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm going to walk into the auditorium, kind of walk down towards the stage and just try to catch his eye and like
wave at him that I'm here. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to interrupt because you don't interrupt stage crew while they're working on stuff. And Celeste knows this. So she's just going to kind of make her presence known.
And you can see he's going to just really quickly, like he's going to turn and say something to the two other guys that were down under this thing with him and like gesture. And they're both going to like exit opposite sides of the stage. And so he's just kind of alone now in this little like cave area under the center of the stage.
I thought he was going to come over here, but he didn't. So now I have to make choices.
Mm-hmm. And he's still working. He's poking around at something down there.
I am going to, tell everybody else to just wait here for 1 second. Sorry. And just kind of hop up onto the stage. Doesn't use the stairs. She just like vaults over the stage because why use stairs when you can circus? And walk over to him. Right in front of him so he can like definitely see that she's standing there. Mm-hmm. Hey, are you you coming out or am I coming in there?
You should come down and maybe even help me. Is there a flashlight up there?
There are a bunch
of flashlights.
She grabs a flashlight and climbs down there.
And he's going to say, see if you can find a hatch to go like to like a sub stage. I'm looking for, I think there's another door here somewhere. So just take a look for that. Also what's up?
And while they're doing that, can I just ask Frequency to download like the blueprints for the entire school and the stage in particular? Cause I don't know what's going on. And I've got a robot friend and this chick who seems to be like weirdly, like, just seems like Frequency's got a crush. So I'm going to need to report back to Sage. So I've got like a lot of things that I need to juggle.
So you're asking just sort of, like, Frequency to find like public blueprints of the school.
And yes, the auditorium, the latest ones.
That's probably, this is a city building. City blueprints are pretty like, they're probably like there's probably like a, it's not public. Like you're supposed to go to the town hall and make a request, but I'm sure that you can.
I could find them.
You can
we
find
don't need
them.
Requests.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a server somewhere that's got them on it. So
absolutely.
So what else? So what are the rest of you doing up on this top of the stage? Did you go up onto the stage or are you still in the?
I think we're still like apart, seeing if maybe we can. I don't know. We're just a bunch of awkward teens, not knowing what to do.
Yeah.
So we're just sort of like. So
I abandoned you in a room full of theater kids.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
So you also, Ben, you are definitely getting weird.
Yeah.
Frequency vibes off of, and actually, so I think that maybe even as you go to reach out to find whatever the government server is that has these blueprints, like it feels like there is this like there's like a little bit of a barrier between like the school's internet and then the rest of the internet, and it's not like it's not preventing you from finding it, but like normally thing like data just flows pretty freely for you.
Yeah.
And there's just a little bit of a like almost like something is like there's a little bit of like there's a firewall, it's not turned on or something like that.
There's some weird interference.
And
going
it's very similar to the interference coming off of this girl.
Oh.
Which is very weird.
Oh, that is very weird. I might sort of assess the situation.
Okay.
Not so much assessing the auditorium, but the network and techno structure of the school.
So roll plus superior.
I can do that. That's an 11.
Okay. So on a 10 plus, you get to ask two questions.
I also get to ask one additional question.
Ooh, why?
Because I have a criminal mind.
Oh, no.
So what here can I use to, I guess, further explore this network?
Okay. Definitely this girl seems like she is like, when you try to reach out through to the like the city servers to find these blueprints, you can feel that little bit of resistance, and in a weird way it definitely feels like it's coming from her. Like she is interacting with this like cyber security system in a way that is weird for like a human. And so definitely whatever it is connected to her in some way, this sort of like alien technology around. And like she's a physical form. You could go talk to her. That would definitely be the easiest way to like further find out about it.
Okay. My second question, who here is most vulnerable to me?
Who here is the most vulnerable to
like
you?
My powers, if we needed to fight people.
In general, the people who are most vulnerable to you are people in this room, because right now the auditorium has like, there's a central moving stage. There's a bunch of lights. You can control all of these things because they're all wired up to like one central computer system to do the show. And so you, if you had to, you could hijack that whole system, flash lights, make loud noises, move things on the stage, and like put on a light show.
Okay.
TM.
Yeah. Okay. And then the last question I have for having a criminal mind, when I assist the situation, I can always ask one of the following questions, even on a miss. What is the best way in or the best way past? So I'm picking, what is the best way past this weird interference firewall thing going on?
Okay. The best way past. The best way past, like, so in a technological sense, the best way past the like, it's not even a firewall, it's more like a monitor. It definitely feels local to the school. So the best way past it would be to physically remove yourself from the school, and then you wouldn't be under its influence. Alternatively, find whatever is causing it and stop it.
Okay.
Which may be this girl, but you're not sure.
Okay.
You will get a plus one towards following up on that stuff.
That's some information.
So what are you going to do now?
For now, I'm not quite doing it. I'm just downloading those plans.
Okay.
And sort of as I'm downloading those plans, sort of putting out the feelers, yeah. starting to map out the stuff in this room. So that's when I can start sensing, you know, there's any of the like moving like mechanisms on stage. Lights, speakers, control system.
Okay.
Things like that.
We're going to return to Celeste in a second, but I have one other question for Alina. So I'm assuming, so I guess you're not having a conversation with anyone. You're not talking to this girl. So you're kind of just standing there looking around. Mm-hmm. Something is going to jump out at you. So you're looking around the room and there are all these tech people doing stuff. So earlier there was a group of like little kids who were the actors. You haven't seen them in a while. They're mm-hmm. off somewhere else. So really the only people in this auditorium right now are these tech people. And you're kind of just like standing there waiting, and they're rolling this scaffolding around. And they're really back up towards the front of the entryway to the auditorium. And there really isn't like a lighting grid up there anymore. And you realize that they've spent a lot of time in places where they're not really like hanging lights anymore. Like when you walked in early, like they were focusing lights. But as soon as like Celeste jumped up on stage to go talk to Sam, they stopped that pretty quickly, and they've moved on to just sort of like weirdly like searching. It looks more like they're searching the roof for something. And like there's guys backstage, and they're playing with like the fly system, and when you came in again, it looked like they were hanging something or preparing something, but now it really just looks like they're kind of like looking around backstage for something. They're not really like doing, like it's kind of like busy work, but it mm-hmm. specifically is like tracking in your mind like these people are looking for something.
Okay.
I don't know what you're going to do with that information, but that's something that you are noticing, because it's kind of the way that you would go. Like if you were tasked with searching this auditorium for something, it's mm-hmm. kind of the way that you would like look around, point some lights at stuff, mm-hmm. poke at the machinery.
Okay.
So think about that. And okay. I'm going to cut back to Celeste. So you were under the stage, and it's dark, it's cramped. There's the actual mechanism that moves the central piece of the stage, but then the stage extends back further. So there's more of this, like, it's like you have to be leaning a little bit to stand under here. It's not quite tall enough to stand upright. And so you're kind of hunched over And you and Sam are moving around with pretty much just flashlight light at this point. And remind me where we were in that conversation.
It's a very good question.
So he was saying, "Look, what are you doing here? Like, what? I thought you were in class. What became really important all of a sudden?"
So I am in class, technically. Failed math. Don't think I mentioned that, but you didn't mention this. So I think we're even, but I'm being honest right now. So I failed math. I'm here because I failed math. Damascus Steele is the new vice principal.
And he kind of just like tries to stifle a laugh. And he's just like, he's not the vice principal. That's ridiculous.
Well, that's what he told us.
I'm sure he told you that. Yeah.
So what is he actually doing?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what he's doing here, but I know like we're looking for something.
What are you looking for?
And he stops and he turns to you and like, I think that you are suddenly just very close to each other. And he turns the flashlight up to his own face and he's just like, Damascus is making a play for the city. And I don't know how much you've been paying attention to what's been going on ever since, that night you threw a knife at me.
Yeah.
And he kind of just like pushes you a little bit, like playfully, like, how could you, like, you threw a knife at me.
Sorry about that. I know we've talked about that, but
there's like,
again, sorry.
There's a place in the city for someone to take, like, to move in, and Damascus is doing that. And like, I mean, you've worked with him. He's not a terrible guy. He's like, he wants to do business. He's like, and so he made me an offer. I'm going to find something for him here in the school, and he's going to clear up. He bought up all, like, he paid people for the debts that I owed them, and he's going to clear my debts. And like, I'm sure he would do the same for you. And then we could be free of all of that, and we could make our own choices. Again, I could talk to him for you.
That sounds incredible, Sam, but I feel like it's generally a bad idea to go searching for something for criminals when you don't know what you're looking for.
And you specifically know that Damascus is a weapons expert and a weapons dealer. So if he's looking for something, it's probably not like happy fun time stuff.
He's looking for the lunchbox he lost 20 years ago.
Yeah, when he was a student here. Yes. No, it's probably not that. And so Sam is just going to say, yeah, but like, we gotta take a risk sometimes. And like, you know, sometimes you just gotta jump.
I tend not to jump without looking where I'm going to land.
Sometimes you can't wait.
I poke my head down underneath the, like, between the circle platform and where they're at, and just say, hey guys, so what you looking for?
Alina, you sort of stick your head, have you jumped down into this, like, this pit under the stage, or are you just, like, poking your head down?
I'm poking my head down.
Okay, you suddenly get, like, just a flashlight in your eyes as Sam turns his flashlight, and he's like, sir, he backs up from Celeste.
Both of us.
Yeah,
just
back,
like,
up quickly. He's like, oh, I'm looking for, there's a mechanism for the stage. I can't find it.
Yeah, but what's everybody looking up, like, in the rafters for?
They are looking for, he turns to you, Celeste, and he's like, kind of like, is like, wait, no, you don't know what they're looking for. they're just, they're looking, do you need something? Do you want to,
No, I just think it's weird that they're looking and, you know, I don't know, curious. And, just wondering who you're working for, why you're here, and what the fuck do you think you're doing?
Are you trying to figure out what's going on with him, or are you trying to tell him to tell you? Are you trying to command him to spill the beans? Like, basically, are you trying to provoke him, or are you trying to sort figure him out? Because that was a little bit of both.
I'm provoking him.
Okay. To do what? To tell you?
Yeah.
Okay, so roll plus superior.
7.
Okay, so on a 7 to 9, I get to do one of these. They stumble, take plus one forward against them. They err, take a critical opportunity, or they overreact. He's going to say, what? He's looking back and forth between Alina and Celeste. And he's like, no, I'm not working for anyone. I'm not working for Steel. You don't know who I am.
Listen, dude, you're not a Jedi.
But you're going to gain influence over him.
Okay.
He's going to say, no, we're not. I'm not working for anyone. I'm not working for Steel. Get out of here. Stop meddling and hurting people. And he is going to like flip a lever and the whole stage is going to start to spin and lower and close. So if you need to make a choice, are you going to roll forwards under the stage or are you going to pull your head back out?
I'm rolling forward into the stage.
Okay. And so you roll forwards into the stage and the whole thing kind of like the whole thing seals shut and there's like silence as all of the sound out from underneath the stage is muffled and suddenly you're in almost pitch black except for the two flashlights held by Celeste and Sam.
You turn to the last page of the comic and find a page of letters to the editor. Do you have questions or comments? Send your letters in written or short audio form to letters@protean.city. We'll publish a few every week with responses from our editors. The first letter reads, "Longtime reader, first time writer. I love Puck and everything about him, but I gotta know, his antlers. Are they a costume piece? Did he manifest them magically? How does he keep them on? The comic does a good job of avoiding this answer definitively, and I need to know for reasons. Sincerely, Pucky in PA." Great questions, Pucky. Puck's antlers are iconic. Like most of his costume, they were definitely something he manifested through the powers of the trickster. Probably mental constructs like the fairies. As for how they stand up or connect to his head, that's a really great question that you definitely deserve an answer to. Well, thanks for writing in, and I hope you enjoy more comics. We have a second question about Puck this week. Charles writes, "The death of Puck's story was climactic and amazing and devastating, obviously, and it's painted some pretty large question marks on his ability to continue in his relationships with his friends. But also, if I'm understanding it correctly, now he's beaten the trickster, he's no longer the doomed. He doesn't have any powers. Given all that, are there plans for Puck to continue as a hero, or is he just going to fade away and let himself be forgotten? We're definitely not done with Puck yet. You are correct that without the trickster, he isn't doomed, and he doesn't retain those powers granted to him by the trickster. We do have plans for John Hobb in the future. You definitely haven't seen the last of him. He didn't fight so hard to not be erased, just to fade away. Powered or no, he's not that kind of hero."
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This issue was emceed by James Malloy, who can be found on Twitter @AndTheMeltdowns. Arcana is played by Jess Benini, who can be found on Twitter @HerlockHolmes1. Frequency is played by Rob Harvey, who can be found on Twitter @RHarvey1211. Highwire is played by our special guest, Emily Buza, from Whelmed, the Young Justice Files podcast, and she can be found on Twitter @Emily of Arden. The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation, is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter @ProteanCity. And on Instagram @ProteanCityComics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.